Somebody said, if I could just win the lottery, I'll be okay. It's kind of like people in the month of April. At first day, they say, what, April Fool? Amen. A lot of people think, well, if I could just have this, I'll be all right. Amen. Nothing will satisfy your soul like the glory and the peace of the Almighty God. There's not enough money in the world to give you the peace that you need. Amen. Praise God. But we're so grateful for the love and the help of the Lord today, the beauty of God, and the mercies of His touch and what He does with our lives. Amen. That He would even care about you. That He would even love you. Amen. It ought to cause you to thank God and live with all your heart. Amen. Are you thankful for what He's doing? Amen. What He's done. And I'm thankful for what He's going to do. Praise God. Amen. So beautiful today to be in the house of the Lord God Almighty. We're glad you're here today. And we're so thankful for our guest. Amen. We're honored to have you today with us. Amen. I can't remember her first name. Julian? Yes. June. Amen. Thank you, June, for being with us today. Amen. And everyone else that is here today, I don't want to overlook anybody, but thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. And in His presence is exactly what we need today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer for special needs. So blessed Brother Riley's here. Thank God for what He's doing, God's doing. Amen. When you feel rode off, you think, oh my, here I am, I'm rode off. What's my life going to be now? God just says, hold it, I'm not done. Amen. I've got a higher plan. Are you thankful for that? Amen. We want to pray, continue to pray for Brother Riley's recovery. Brother Joe Martin, same way. And terrible situation right now, pain. God to undertake. Brother Martinez, pastor in the Lufkin area, after three back surgeries, back to back within 3 weeks, still there's some problems there that are going on, and this pastor's ready to get back in the saddle, so to speak, but his physical being is just not able to allow him to go back at this point. But we want to pray and want to minister. We want God to minister to us, but we're not selfish, greedy people. We want the Lord to touch our families, our friends, our neighbors, our neighborhood, our mission field is our people around us that we meet. And the people around us we care about. We care about this city. We care about those that are assembling today in faith and other places of worship. We want the Spirit of God to make a difference in their life as well. Amen. I want you to carry these needs to God with me. Amen. I want you to ask God to touch and minister. Lord, we thank You for Your victory today. Thank You for the privilege and opportunity to come to You on behalf of other needs today, Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, for our brothers and sisters that are hurting, our family members that are in need. I pray for these that are sick in body that You would touch and minister today. Lord, that You would help and guide that lonely, God, one to You, Lord, that lost one to Your fold. God, I pray for our city, I pray for our county, I pray for our area that You would minister. God, our nation needs You right now. God, our world needs You. God, we need You most of all, more than just peace where everything is tranquil. God, I pray for the power of Your Spirit, Your peace to be inside. God, that absoluteness of Your presence, Lord, we pray for, that You would, God, Your redeeming power, God, would be known, and what, God, You have all, what You have done can be received today. We pray for Your glory. We thank You for the anointing of Your Spirit. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless our youth class. They may be dismissed at this point. Amen. And those of you remaining, would you find your Bible and turn with me to Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. Our world is in desperate need right now. Our nation, and I have acquaintances that is in Amman. I have acquaintances that are in Israel. I have family members that's overseas, and we want the hand of the Lord to be with them. Also, we want the precious touch of the Lord. Those that are serving in our military right now, want God to just be with them and guide our leadership of our nation. But most of all, this big picture that you're seeing unfolding in our hour, God is in control when things feel out of control. But I want you to pray that the purpose of life will be found. Many people, God has a reason and a purpose. And we want the spirit of the word today to help us today to understand that God's still in control. God is still King of Kings. He's the Lord of hosts. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. Book of Isaiah, the prophet writes as he's inspired of the Lord. He tells Israel, awake and awake. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, and loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. Thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing or naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. And I want the Lord to help us today. And we find in this scripture, the Lord is speaking to Jerusalem. This is Old Testament. But Isaiah's talking, and we could spiritualize it today and say, come on, put on your strength. Wake up. Put your boots on. Amen. It's time to get up, and it's time to be what God has called us to be. It's time to get away from the chains. Step out of your broken chains and let God, amen, lead you into his liberty. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you anoint every heart, every soul today in this house? God, these that are listening today, that you administer as well. We pray for the glory of the Holy Ghost and, Lord, the privilege, God, today that you put before us. Help us, to God, to capitalize on it and help us to hear what your Spirit is saying and to obey your word, Lord God, the prompting of your hand and your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated today. I don't think Jerusalem was asleep because they were in turmoil. I don't think that their heads was on a pillow, so to speak. But sometimes our hearts can get asleep, and our conscience and our faith and our awareness can get to that place that we really don't understand. Have you ever been in a fog before in your mind, in your mental state? And all of a sudden, something's just opened your understanding. You awaken. The prophet of God tells Jerusalem here, awake. Wake and put on strength. In other words, he is referring to strength as being something you put on, like a garment. Then he says, put on beautiful garments. Then he says, shake yourself from the dust. Shake the dust off of you. Oh, captive Jerusalem, rid yourselves from the chains. Get those chains off of you. And he said, don't you know, amen, you sold yourself for nothing. Nothing at all did you sell yourself for. But he said, you're going to be redeemed without money. I'm thankful that the Lord has redeemed us. That word redeemed. Oh, I remember when I was a kid, they used to have coupons, green stamps, yellow stamps. How many remember those days? And my mama would say, we got to go redeem these coupons. She would save all these green stamps. And for our younger crowd here today, when we would go to the grocery store, they had a little machine there. When you bought so many groceries, the lady would dial how many points you got. And she turned the knob, and these stamps came out, these little coupons. And you kept up with them in a little booklet. And the more you collected, the more points that you had to go to the store that had the or catalogs, whatever. And you were able to get little prizes or little items. There was things that my mama would get from green stamps. They had an S&H green stamp store, I believe, in Baton Rouge that we would go to. And she would get so excited about having her little booklets filled. But what good would all that be after she's done that and worked hard to lick and stick and fill those books? What good would it be if she just dreamed about those beautiful bowls and those beautiful things that she would go and get? We would walk in there and she would go and look and she would, wow. And I can remember when she walked out, that sense of, look what I got. Look what I got. I redeemed my stamps. I redeemed my coupons. I'm thankful today that my God has redeemed us. Amen. With his precious blood. Amen. We were lost in sin. Amen. We were bound in sin. But Jesus died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. And the point that he's making to Israel here, come on, wake up, shake yourself, get up, put your strength on, and get out of your chains. Are you thankful for the power that God has to help you out of your conditions? Now, the Lord has spoke to me this morning very directly for this service, and the last several days, I knew God had something. Even last night in this place, it was dark, and I was praying in here thinking, oh, God, I know you have something for your people, and I cannot, but I haven't got my hand on it yet. And I just knew that in time, God would speak to my heart, and you could study all week long, and you study for all these different things, but what good is studying if you don't hear what the Spirit is saying? Amen. And this morning, I'm thankful that when I came to the church and I began to seek the mind of the Lord, all of a sudden, just like I knew, there was mail in my box today. Amen. From the King of Kings. Amen. I want to just talk to us today, amen, about being set free. Would you be set free? Amen. Is the question that I want to ask. There's a song that we sing. There's power, power, power in the blood. But it starts up, would you be free from your passion and pride? Would you be free from these things that hold you back? There's power, power, power in the blood. This morning there are people that seem to be full of frustrations. People carrying frustrations. They're carrying disappointments. And the word frustration and the word disappointment has been back and forth in my mind, in my spirit. And this morning, God wants to deal with those that are frustrated on the inside. Those that are disappointed in life. So today, if you come with frustration and disappointments, I come to tell you, God's got your number. Amen. God's got your heart. And God is ready to give you victory if you would just follow him today. Amen. Our world seems to be full of these frustrations and letdowns and hurts and misunderstandings. Man, I have to deal with people all the time that have misunderstandings. People may not have intentions to say things or do things, but when you're on the receiving side and you misunderstand and you begin to get it and you swallow it, that bitterness and that bile a misunderstanding comes on you, and there's an aggravation that comes. There's a frustration that begins to rise up inside, and pretty soon you can't think straight when you're frustrated. You can't function when you're disappointed. You can't go forward when bitterness wants to come in, because that's all you think. It's kind of like a leg or a knee that is out of joint. Every time you go to take a step, it tells you it's there. Every time you stand up, it's there. Every time you don't stand up, it's there. Every time you lay down, that pain is there. Have you ever had a pain that you could not rid of? Amen. You tried everything and Tylenol didn't work. Ibuprofen didn't help. Painkillers didn't kill the pain. Amen. Oh, you tried. Well, I'll soak in Epsom salt. It didn't help. Amen. Everything is screaming at you. But when you're frustrated on the inside and things are biting and screaming on the inside of your mind and your spirit, it's not something you just lay down. There's some things that only takes the hand and the help of God. Many times the question, why me? seems to be unanswered in life. There's things that happen, man, that nobody else did, that sometimes begin to cause people to get to that place of hurt, misunderstanding, grief, pain, woes. But we don't understand. Many go through their graves with unhealed wounds of life. Today, God wants to touch those today in this place that you're dealing with frustration. There's something in your mouth, something in your mind, something in your heart that has your fists drawn up inside. And you're saying, I'm so aggravated. I'm so frustrated. But at the same time, while you're so frustrated, you can't focus truly on what God has for you. Israel had became a slave and a captive by their choice, by their rebellion, by their very own allowance of things to silently slip in their life. I want to tell you, there's not an enemy big enough to take you captive when you live for God. Amen. They may come and bind you up. Amen. But oh, it's kind of like that little boy. Amen. His daddy said, boy, you need to sit down. He was in the middle of a church service. He said, sit down now. That boy kept standing up on the back of that pew, jumping up and down. He said, sit down. And little Greg, he looked around and he smiled real big. And he had such a pleasant smile. And he had that little look in his face. And his mama said, Greg, what are you smiling about? He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen. Have you ever been set down before, but something inside of you just kept standing? Amen. Even though that you've gone through something, I love it when somebody gets a hold of that unchanging hand of God. Even though you may go through things, amen, I'm thankful that my God is a God that will walk with you. He is the shepherd. Amen. And when there's a valley that God has designed for you to go through, my God, as the great shepherd, will guide you through that valley. He will neither leave you nor forsake you. That's the God we serve today. Many times we go through things that are nobody else's problems but ours, our own makings. And Israel got to that place. Pretty soon they started courting sinful practices. Immorality is an invisible thing that people begin to get in their brain, in their heart. And they begin to look at the wrong things, begin to lust after things. That's how every time Israel, they didn't just go out and go get them a big brass monkey and start worshiping it. They had more sense than that. But they knew that there was something connected with it. And somebody said, well, that brass monkey didn't have no power. It must have had, because many of them went and got it, and they started worshiping these things. But there was something connected to it, something it represented. Maybe it represented, you don't have to get married. You could play around. Amen. Those that worship the brass monkey, amen, you look what they do. And pretty soon you start thinking, well, they get by with it, and their brass monkey blesses them. Well, pretty soon, you ain't got a brass monkey yet. But you start thinking, look, man, they're having fun across that border. They're having fun in that pagan camp over there. And pretty soon you start, it's all right. You feel it's okay to just slip across the line. It's okay just to fudge just a little bit. That's how Israel lost their position with God. Pretty soon, friend, little by little, things started moving in their heart that moved them out of the blessings and the placement of God Almighty. I want to tell you, it's not big things that come in, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little unleavened things that begin to corrupt the whole heart of a man. Amen. So here now, big things started to happen, and they became the slaves of these people. Now they became the joke. Where's your God at now? You boast that God brought you out of Egypt, opened up the Red Sea, fed you manna, gave you water, clothed you, your clothes didn't wear out. Where's your God now, buddy? You know, their God never changed. But their hearts had changed. They got to that place. They were so steeped in sin and immorality and wickedness and evil, amen, that they had made a choice. And God says, until you turn to me, until you look to me, until you reach to me, amen, you know better than where you're at, but until you get to that place where you see that you need me and you really want me. You know, I need God. How many notice that you need God in your life? Amen. But I want to just tell you, amen, you got to have more than just saying, God, I need you, but you got to want God. Amen. I pray for me all the time. I pray for my wants. God, I want to want you. I need you, but I want to want you. I want to want you so much that these little petty things are not going to bother me. These things that come my way, they're not going to make me their slave. I want the power of the Almighty God to be resident in me. Amen. The glory of God inside my heart that I say, hey, I'm not giving it one chance. I'm not giving it a bit of attention. I want to be greater and have the power of the Holy Ghost in me to operate, to help me to resist the enemy. Bible don't say rebuke the enemy and he'll flee from you. It says what? Resist the enemy. I got to have resistance in my life. But you know that many will go to their graves with unhealed wounds because they just don't let God help them. Some people curse their hurts. Some people rehearse and nurse them and rehearse and rehearse their hurts and nurse those hurts. They don't want them healed. Some people just want to hang on to their hurts. And the best way to turn a hurt into a victory thing, a scar into a star, basically, is to turn it to God and let God have his way. God knows how to turn it inside out. Amen. He knows how to take that scar, that hurt, amen, and give you victory with it. Many times there are people that just hang on to things. You know, a doctor pointed out one time, walking down the hall, he said, that's the best nurse in this hospital. Really? He begins to say, the reason that's the best nurse in this hospital, for 10 months as a teenager, that little girl was in a car wreck and laid in this hospital. And nurse after nurse would come to her and help her. And when she finally got out of the hospital, later on she said, when I graduate from school, I'm going to be a nurse and I'm going to come back. And I'm going to love and tend to people like they tended to me. Brother Weaver would tell you, not everybody with a nursing degree has good bedside manners. He has to deal with that with his staff all the time. Not everybody that is a doctor has good bedside manners. But I'm glad that the God of heaven knows how to take care of us. Amen. But many people don't learn their lessons. They hang on to things and they hold on to it. And it's kind of like this. If God has broke the chains, why hang on to broken chains? Many times they talk about the habits and the chains of life holding them. No, no, no. We hold the chains when God has already broke them. It's time to let go of the chains and let God even lead you to that place of victory over that. Hurts, frustrations. We start letting them and start feeding these things. And the wounds. Oh, you're going to get wounded in life. You're going to get hurt in life. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to be done wrong. All these things are going to happen to you in life. But you don't have to hang on to them. Amen. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 34 says, out of weakness, the heroes of faith were made strong. Some of them went through severe trials, hardships, battles. Some were tortured. Some suffered, had severe suffering and losses, afflictions, storms, problems. But the Bible says all these died in faith, having not received the promise. You know, we read at the first part of it in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, about all the victory things that happened. Then you get to the ones that it was sawed in half, boiled in oil. Those that were killed, that were stoned. Can you imagine them taking a saw and sawing somebody in half? But the Bible says they held on to their faith, knowing that God was still in control, that there was a better thing in God. Amen. When God puts you in an appointment, amen, and you go through that appointment of life, I don't care how severe it may be and how painful it may be, we can ever get to that place that we start charging God foolishly. Job went through his appointment. His friends came and tried to counsel him into cursing God. His wife tried to get him, look at you. Why don't you just throw in the towel? But Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't it better when you put on that strength like Isaiah said? Put on that strength today. Put on that beautiful garment. I love it when somebody, instead of saying, oh, poor me, even, oh, but they get a hold of what God has for them. They get a hold of the hand of God. God will lead you through the fiery furnace. God will lead you through the severe tests of your life. If you hang on, God will give you a testimony for your test. Many people just want to hang on to the problem. They enjoy bathing their wounds and keeping their wounds a wound. It was years ago, my wife and I went to California where the redwood forest is at. And there's a story of a great big redwood tree that fell one day. And they did research on that redwood tree. They cut it, and you could tell a tree by the rings and the years. You could date it. And they began to study it. This thing was hundreds of years old. And it has stood for many, many years. And they began to ponder what caused the death of this tree. They noticed when it was younger, it went through droughts and it had great times of water. It had great times of, you can read everything about that tree in the print that is, when you cross-cut that stump. You look at the rings, and they observed it, and they studied it. It had gone through a fire. But then there was a severe fire that burned it one day. And it just kept growing. It was wounded. But they realized that that big, tall tree fell that morning. It wasn't a storm. It wasn't even a little bird that jumped on its limbs that caused it to fall. What caused the fall of that great red oak was a wound that never healed. A void in its life. And there are people that go through life with wounds that never heal. Things they never let God help them with. Today, what good is coming to God and saying, God, I know you're a healer, but you won't let God heal you. You won't let God's hand go right to the problem. Many times we guard the problem and we hang on to the wound. And said, no, I enjoy having this excuse. I enjoy being that person that's always sobbing about something that's happened to me. Maybe somebody did afflict you. Maybe somebody did burn you. Maybe somebody did hurt you. But I'm thankful that God forgives. And when we come to that place to forgive other people, how wonderful it is. I want to tell you, how would you like to live in a world with just people like you? One person said, I can't get along with myself, much less everybody else. How would you like to live in a world with all the people that are just like you? I'm thankful that there's a harmony God has. A harmony that God puts. Do you know it? The word harmony means there's a blending of more than just one note. If it was just one note, you would never know the beautiful sounds of a song. It would always be the same boring note that you would hear. But, even Sister Fancher, you can play a guitar, you know it takes a chord. It takes learning to chord and blend those together and work together. And when you sing, not everybody just sings lead, but you got to learn the different parts and it blends together. It's amazing. And in life, God wants there to be harmony. We're living an hour where, man, we're living in a place where people just want that one. If it's not my way, nobody's going to have fun. Bitterness and anguish and hurt is in our world today. And if we're not careful, it could even come into church. Well, this one rises up because they don't see through the eyes of God's mercy, and they don't even have tolerance for other people. It's got to be their way, and they always have a fix for everybody else, but their life is broken. Kind of like the carpenter. His house is falling apart. Mechanic's car don't run half the time. Yeah. And here we are. We're able to diagnose everybody else, but we won't take time to look in the mirror and say, Lord, help me to tune my heart. Amen. Before we go any further, I want you to lift your hands and pray for you right now. Lord, help me to have an ear to hear what your spirit is saying. Help me, Lord God, today to recognize that you really want to talk to me about me. You really want to get over to me, God. You really want me to be stronger and better. You want me to be that one to let my light shine brighter. God, not to look at the faults of my own past and failures of other people. But God, you want me to look to you, God. You want me to put on that beautiful garment, that strong garment. God, the beautiful garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God, you want to make a difference inside me today, Lord. Amen, that I could be what you called me to be, what you want me to be. Help me today, God, to rise up and to wake up in Jesus' name. Bitterness hurts. Hurts can make us bitter or better. Man, hell's going to be full of bitter people. Heaven's going to be full of bettered people. And we know that, man, when we get over the other side, there's going to be a glorified body. There's going to be all, no more tears. But I want to tell you, you better in life here, in life while you got a chance, instead of letting things stick you and prick your life like a porcupine. Amen. You better learn to get in with God and say, Lord, help me to learn from my mistakes. Amen. It's kind of like I've used the illustration, but it's real. Amen. There's a gate at our deer lease. Amen. We used to have our camp where we used to put our campers at. We would open that gate, and it was, oh, we were so excited to get there. It was still dark. And Sister Crosswhite was going to drive the truck because the little road, amen, I walked before her and helped her with the road. It was just real tight turn and all. And when I got out the gate and I opened the gate and I backed up with the gate in my hand, there was what they have in West Texas and South Texas called a jumping cactus. Y'all know what a jumping cactus is? Well, it hurts. Amen. But, amen, when you back into one, amen, it really hurts. Amen. And friend, you had to have a little bit of surgery, amen, by my wife that day. And that's not a pleasant thing. I wouldn't want to think about that. Don't go there. Amen. But I want to tell you, there are a lot of people that, amen, they back into things. Well, Brother Craig, it didn't take me but one time to learn. I guarantee when I go to that gate, I don't back up. I look at where that old cactus, I don't think it's there anymore. It may be there. But I guarantee you, I'm looking for it. Amen. God wants us to learn, amen, when we back into things. Amen, when people hurt you and people, amen, they invalidate you and people begin to throw things at you in life, realize, amen, if you just let it wound you and you let it begin to bitter you, amen, they win or it wins. Amen, many people are not even intentional in this hour. Yet we get misunderstandings in our heart and we let them begin to prick us. Then we have to deal with the infection. And everywhere we go, people wonder what happened to him. Why they're so critical and so quick. Why they're so... Time you see them, they're always aggravated. I want to let the Holy Ghost help me today. Amen. I want God to set me free. Amen. Hey, God's already broken the chains. God just wants somebody to step out today. Amen. God wants to bless. Amen. A lady lost her husband. And she was so aggravated, frustrated in life. He died of a disease, and she went to a counselor. She paid good money for a counselor. And first thing, counselor said, okay, she said, I'm hurting so bad. How long ago has it been since your husband died? She said, 10 years ago. I said, okay, well, tell me about it. Well, he had a rare disease. And and she began to describe the pain that he went through and the situations and the trips back and forth to the hospital in Houston. She told the counselor the dreaded time that she would have to take him, and she was aggravated and hurting. 10 years. Finally, she went to the counselor, and the counselor started listening to her. At the third session, he said, "You know, I've listened to you repeat the same thing over and over." He said, "You're frustrated, you're aggravated, you're bitter about your husband dying, and you're mad at him because of what he was going through. How old was your husband?" She said, "My husband was 83 years old when he died." And she was a younger lady than he was. He said, 83 years old, and you know, suffered together. And he said, "Didn't you ever take a moment to hold his hand just saying, 'I love you'?" She said, "Yeah, but in fact," she had a long list of things in her purse. All the different times she went to the doctor, she had it all journaled and all this. And she would, every time she would talk to somebody, she would open that purse and pull it out. He said, "You know what I want you to do? I want you to tear it up into pieces. In fact, I got a shredder right here." He said, "Today we're going to celebrate healing in your life." And he said, "I want you to come to the shredder, and I want you to shred those papers." She looked at him. She said, "No." He said, "What good are they to you?" She said, "It's my memories." He said, "Every memory you have shared in the two previous sessions has been about the disgrace of you having to take your husband to Houston. The disgrace of you watching him suffer." And he said, "You should have been the joy in his life." And she looked, and all of a sudden, something broke. All of a sudden, she jumped up. She got those papers, and he thought she was fixing to hit the door. She walked to that shredder, and when she hit that little deal and she put that papers in, all of a sudden when it went, she watched it go. And she looked at tears streaming down her face, and she said, "I can't believe it. I'm already feeling good." Amen. And he said, he scheduled the next session. She came walking in the door with her head up. She said, "I went to his grave and I apologized to him." And she said, the next session she came, she said, "I want you to know," she said, "I want you to read this love letter I have." She wrote him a love letter, said how much she loved him for being a strong man. He said, "Ma'am, for the last 10 years, you have done nothing but let aggravation and frustration cause you not to live right. Amen. You've been a walking time bomb." He said, who have you called and encouraged in these 10 years? She said, "Nobody." "Who are your friends?" She said, "Well, I used to have friends, but nobody's for me today." "Where are your children?" She said, "My one daughter that I have won't even talk to me anymore." Amen. But friend, within 6 months, amen, all of a sudden she started having friends. She started having people back in her life. Her daughter and grandkids, they were there for her. I want to tell somebody today, it's time for us to shred our past. It's time to get past the things, amen, that keep bugging us and boogering us up. Amen. And say, "God, I thank you for what you did at Calvary." Amen. If your past is still hanging on your life, you need the blood and the power of the Almighty God, but you need to let God work in your life. Many people just don't want God to do it. They're ready to hang on to things that are petty. They want to hang on to things that are there. It's kind of like you get a certain age, you don't know what to talk about when you go around people. So the first thing you're going to talk about is the weather, and you're going to talk about your pains and ailments. That happens when we get a little bit older. Well, I wonder what the weather's going to do. We don't know what to talk about, so we use these things. Well, you know, I believe God wants to give a different conversation in our relationship with him and our relationship with other people. I love it when I sit down at a table and somebody says, "Woo, brother, I want to tell you what the Lord has been doing. I've been reading. Oh, I've been reading Psalm, the 8th chapter. And I've been memorizing it. And there's something, there's a power. I've read that all my life. but I've never seen that. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast, what is man that, God, you're mindful of him. I had a person tell me that. They said, I've never really paid attention. Amen. When you begin to turn your attention to God, God will help you to gain some new things to talk about. I'm thankful today for the testimony that God will give you. A testimony is something you just got to tell. In my complaints, the Lord's heard my cry. And he reached down and helped me out of them. And many people, their past is still in their face. People can't forgive themselves for something they have done or somebody else have done. Man, you can't get past something in your past. You need to thank God today for the opportunity to bring it to him. Amen. God wants you to get past your past. There's a newness of life for somebody in this room today. Even though the Lord has spoke to me today, there's going to be healing in this house for somebody. And the healing is not a physical healing. God's not going to heal a leg. God's not going to heal some eyes. He can do it. But today, the greatest healing he wants to do is the healing inside of a heart, healing inside of a life, healing inside of a mind, healing in the way you've been doing things. God is ready for somebody. Amen. Put on the garments of strength, even the garments of praise, the garments of a new beginning today. God is ready for his church and his people to walk out of this place with a testimony. Had it not been for the Lord, I would still be in my critical zone. But God reached down to the horrible pit where I was in and brought me out. Look what the Lord has done. Look at rebellious Israel. They got to the place where they ignored God, rebelled. They thought they were religious as long as they sacrificed. I want you to turn to Isaiah the first chapter with me now. Isaiah chapter 1. I want you to catch what the prophet Isaiah is talking about here. Isaiah 1 verse 18. While you're turning there, Israel had rebelled. They were sacrificing. I mean, they had bullocks and goats. They were offering Old Testament burnt sacrifices continually. Amen. Oh, the smoke from the tabernacle and it was going up in the temple area, the worship area, constantly. They were busy. They were busy with their rituals. Busy, busy, busy. But God said, what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? What good is all this blood, bullocks, fire? What good is it? You coming to church and going through your rituals, but you won't let me work in your life. See, God respects those, amen, that has a desire that says, no. God, he's going to respect your will, friend. When you don't let God, God's not going to. He's going to say, okay, that's your choice. Even it's the same thing happened here. But in 1:18, he said, I want you to come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. I want to tell somebody the Lord is speaking today. Come, let us reason together. I don't care how bad your past has been, how bad and upset you've been in life, amen, how bad you've been done wrong, how bad and aggravated you've been. Amen. God wants somebody to get under the fountain of his love and mercy today. Amen. Jesus went to the cross for that purpose. Amen. To help somebody. Amen. Oh, he wants you to let go of the chains that are holding you. Amen. The chains that you're holding. Amen. You've been hurt by nasty people today. Hear me today. God wants you today to know that he will help you. Been betrayed. Been degraded. Victimized, invalidated, manipulated. I want to tell you it happens. It will happen. But Miss Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt, made a statement. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And a lot of times it's by our consent that we hang on to things, because we get permission for them to stay. We let them live in our life. But today the Master has his hands open. And if you allow, he wants you to be released. We find it easy to read the miracles of Jesus Christ when the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, an issue of blood. She tried many things. The Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians. Suffered many things of many physicians. Suffered many things of many physicians. They tried all they knew how to do, and she suffered trying to find an answer. The next thing, she spent all she had on physicians and trying to find help for her condition. But that day when Jesus came, are you thankful that you know the story? Amen. She pressed her way through the crowd, and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know within myself I shall be made whole. Amen. She probably had to get down and crawl to get a hold of his garment. But when she did, this little weak bodied individual that day touched the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And Jesus stopped. Who touched me? And all the disciples around said, Lord, there's a multitude of people bumping up against us and bumping against you. He said, no. Somebody touched me with an intention, because I felt virtue flow from him. I wonder if somebody today get an intentional desire. God, I come to be rid of this. I'm tired of being plagued and suffering. Amen. Right now, the Lord is in this place, and God is wanting somebody to reach out and touch him. Amen. What kind of person will you be after the Lord has set you free? Oh, we think about the blind man, how that day when he came to Jesus, Jesus opened his eyes. And he was blind from birth, had never seen the light of day. But when Jesus opened his eyes, this man's life drastically changed. What about the person that never heard a sound before? When Jesus touched them, life changed. What about that one that was crippled from birth? Everybody had to carry him ever since he was a child. He'd been carried for him to eat. Somebody had to have pity on him to carry him to the roadside. For him even to go to the restroom, somebody had to have pity on him. For him to be clean, he was at the people. To the day the Master came his way. What a difference that happened in that man's life. We rejoice in that. But today, just like the miracles of these individuals, the blind, the person that couldn't hear, and this crippled man, even the Lord wants to give you your miracle, setting you free and loosed, a loosening of frustration and the pains on the inside. Amen. I feel the healing of the Lord today in this place. Amen. God is ready for somebody to walk out of this place. Amen. Free from the burden, free from the pain, free from the old wounds of the past, and start a new beginning today. I want to go to Isaiah now, 53rd chapter, verses 4 and 5. Amen. I want you to read what Jesus done. They're going to put it up here. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. How beautiful to know what the Lord has done for us. Amen. Surely he had borne our what? And carried what? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Next verse. But he was wounded. You need to take your finger and point it at you. For our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And right now, and with his stripes, we are healed. Stand with me in this building. I don't want to hold off any longer. Amen. The Lord today is coming to this place, the great physician of not just the body, but the great physician, amen, of the soul and the being of mankind, has walked in the house today. The doctor is here. Amen. The king is here. The answer is here today. Amen. I don't want you to stay where you're at. Amen. I know there's things in this room today. Amen. People with things that are eating you on the inside.
even things from the past and frustrations. You're living in a place right now where you need healing from bitterness and healing from these things. God wants you to come down right now. Amen. I don't want you to hang on one moment to that chair. I want you to walk out and come to God and say, God, I'm ready for that healing. Step out of your chair. There's people in this room. Amen. Quit lying to yourself. You keep bringing up the same old problem over and over. Hallelujah. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for mine iniquity. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Would you be free? Would you be free? Would you be free? Hallelujah, my God. I know this, many of you already knelt, but I'm going to ask you to stand back up. I'm not being disrespectful, irreverent. But I feel God wants to do something this morning. How many's ever been in a battle where you were so bitter and frustrated before? Let me see your hand, and God has healed you. You've been free from it? God wants to do it right now. Instead of me pointing my finger and saying, you, or you, you might want you to recognize that the healer's here, and the healer has come with an appointment today for your life. So when we pray for somebody else, we're not trying to wonder what she's doing, what's going on in his life. I want you men to come gather around close, and I want you ladies to come gather around today. Amen. Those that can't stand very long, you're welcome to sit. Amen. But I want you to come, and I want you to pray. Amen. We're going to let the healer do his work this morning. Amen. If you could go to somebody and pray with them right now. Amen. We're not here to shame anybody, but I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, amen, the Lord wants you to put on the garments of strength. Amen. To walk out of those chains that's been binding you. Amen. Let drop those broken chains at your feet. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost of heaven right now, amen, intervene in your life. Amen. Come on. It's not worth going a step further in your life with things inside of you. Amen. Things that are bugging you and bothering you. Amen. It's not worth going again. Amen. Out of this church doors. Amen. With things that are operating in your system. Amen. That should be there. Amen. Would you pray? Would you just put your hand on a shoulder and say, God, would you let your mercy right now flow? Would you let your grace right now operate? Would you let your victory come today in this place? Come on. Hallelujah. God's ready today. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is wanting to just come in. Amen. The Spirit of healing wants to come in this congregation. Hallelujah. Would you be free? Would you be free? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in his work. Hallelujah. Amen. Very silently, the Holy Ghost wants to do a miracle for somebody right now. Amen. That person you're praying with right now, maybe that one, amen, he's ready to give a miracle to. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're faced with. You don't know what's eating on the inside of them. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Would you let the beauty of the Lord right now reach? Come on. Let it reach. Come on. Let him get to that thorn. Let him get to that thorn on the inside of you. Amen. That hurt, that scar, that wound. Holy Ghost, have your way right now. Hallelujah. I believe you, Lord, right now. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the being a physician. Thank you for that work of the Holy Ghost right now, Jesus. Thank you for the work of your Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, your past has been, amen, a terrible situation. That's okay. Amen. My God is a specialist. He knows how, amen, to specialize in giving victory over past. Amen. The name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Come on, let the healing virtue flow right now. Amen. Somebody, come on, you may be weeping today. It's okay. Amen. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Let that praise out to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he careth for you. He was wounded for that reason. He was bruised for your reason. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. In the name of the Lord, with us and believe the Lord right now. Amen. You ready? In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed right now. Be healed. Receive your healing in this place now. Amen. The hand of the Almighty God. We pray right now to heal in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing my soul right now, Lord. I thank you for healing me, God. Thank you for releasing me, Lord Jesus. Come on now, I want you to put on the garments of praise. Somebody put that garment of praise. God, I praise you. You want to lift your hands right now. You need to step out of that chain. Amen. Oh, if you're standing, won't you step forward? Come on, step forward. Symbolically say, I'm stepping out of my chains. I'm stepping out of the binding place. I'm stepping out of the problem right now. I'm making a new step to you, Jesus. Holy God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, thank the Lord. Somebody put on the garments of praise. Come on, for the spirit of heaviness, the Bible says. For the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah, for the spirit of heaviness. Come on, would you let God give you an exchange? Amen. There's an exchange that God wants to make right now. There's a transformation and a transition. God is ready. Come on, it may be back to your childhood. It may be something way in your past that you're embarrassed of. If you would let God today, that's why he went to Calvary, to heal you. Amen, to help you, to love you, that you could be free today. Hallelujah. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Put your beauty in us now, Lord. I pray for beauty and peace in your spirit right now. Come on, men, I want you to lift your hands and thank the Lord today. Come on, lift both those hands. Amen. Those hands ought to be lifted as a sign of surrender. Amen. Hands lifted above your head is a sign of surrender. Amen. Lord, I lift my hands and I surrender everything to you today, Jesus. I give it all up. I give it all over, and Lord, I presented it to you, God. I've given it to you now, Lord, I receive. Those hands up means now, God, I receive. God, I come to receive, pour it in my heart, pour it in my life, God. I pray for new beginnings, Jesus. I pray for joy and victory in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, help me to release. If somebody's forgiven you, I want you to forgive. Somebody's even done wrong to you, I want you to forgive them right now. Amen. Ask God to help you to forgive that person. It may be childhood things. It may be adult things. Amen. It may be some wicked individual. It may be just somebody in your life. Amen. Oh, God, help me to forgive. Help me to lay it down at your feet, Jesus. Help me not to go one step further. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hearts. Let's lift our voices to the Lord. Lord, I praise you for your glory. I praise you for your anointing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, God wants to heal those old wounds. Amen. The more wounds. Hallelujah. God's ready to heal. Hallelujah. God's ready to scab over that open wound that keeps flowing. Amen. God is ready to heal you completely. Amen. You may have scars, but that's okay. Amen. You would go forward if you would let the Lord today. Amen. God would help you to go forward in his spirit and his way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for victory. Thank you for joy. Thank you for unction. Thank you for mercy, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I do feel that there's somebody that needs to be anointed with oil today. I don't know who, but you need, amen. You want the church to pray with you right now. I want you to come if you need to be anointed with oil. Pastor, I just need help. Amen. You need healing in your body. Brother Riley's here. We want the Lord to continue to bless him to recover. And we're going to anoint with him with oil. The Bible says the afflicted pray, anoint with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. God will save the sick. Amen. I want you to pray with us right now. Amen. There's others that may need to come. Amen. Lift your hands, church. We want to pray for healing.
God, I thank you for having your hand over the Riley today. God, this physical healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the miracles that you give, Jesus, that are so timely, so purposed. In the name of the Lord God Almighty, thank you for the beginning of today, God. With your stripes, God, we just read. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Anybody else that need to be anointed with oil? Don't want to overlook. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was years ago I preached a revival. I was just a young man, hadn't even pastored yet. In a large church, and I preached. I stopped in the middle of the message, and the Lord spoke to me that there's many there. God wanted to heal on the inside, burden, kind of what I preached today. But I went preaching about that. I just felt it. There was a lady that came. I didn't know who she was. We prayed. Two services later, the pastor said, "Brother Crosswhite, she wants to tell you her story." She was severely abused as a child, and she always was aggravated, frustrated at her life. She hated her life. And that service, God healed her. Went back and preached later on. Totally different lady. Can you believe that she got married? She started being able to love people. God gave her a husband, and they had children, and it was maybe 10 years ago. I was at a youth camp in Lufkin, Texas, and one of those kids came up and said, "You know who I am?" "No, but I heard of you all my life. My mom is so-and-so. You were preaching revival in Austin, Texas, and my mother was there, and God healed my mother from that day forth. My mother was a complete different person." You know, that lady took a handful of psychotic drugs. Handfuls of them. Everywhere she went, she would kind of like a chihuahua. If you like chihuahuas, that's your deal. But not, I don't like them. They don't like me. I mean, but she had a chihuahua mentality. Everywhere she went, bite, bite, bite. Brother Riley, you get bit all the time, don't you? I'm thankful for the healing of the Lord, aren't you? But that the Lord is able to heal us, that we can live in peace. He said, "Go in peace now. Go in peace." And this is what the Lord said. When I was praying about this service today, and when you're not going to be a big lightning boom from heaven, God says, "I work in a gentle way. A gentle way." Sister Crosswell, when she was digging that thorn out, Brother Holt, she didn't get a pocket knife. She got a little thing of tweezers. Little needle, and it hurt digging it. It did. And when she got it, healing happened. Today, I feel healing happening right now in the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, let's thank the Lord again. Lord, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your grace. We love you and we praise you today, God, for just the way you minister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise God. June, what an honor to have you today, ma'am. We're so blessed you came today. Saints, you're the greatest people. I love you. Greatest pulpit I preach from is this one right here. The greatest people. It's not a conference, not a camp meeting, not any other place. Right here. I count it an honor. Amen. God bless you. Let's grow to heaven now. Help somebody else make it. Be mindful of other people. Be a blessing, not a burden. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.